raised the world from which he had come. Through the void trailed the snake of energy he had summoned, guiding him outward into infinity. It represented the flows of energy of the portals the Burning Legion used to get to Outland. With an effort of will, he sent himself flashing along the trail, faster than light, quick as thought, until he found the first connecting portal. He descended from the nether and flashed over a world. He looked upon a desert where once fields had grown, cemetery cities where unburied bodies clogged the streets. Eerie green energy flickered from disrupted portals. Amid the ruins, imps frolicked and shouted obscenities. One or two sensed his proximity and peered about them as if near-sighted. In the distance, an infernal lumbered, all blazing skin and burning rock for limbs. He flashed from place to place, finding no sign of life, witnessing only destruction. He flowed past bunkers where the skeletons of creatures smaller than elves lay beside the alien weapons that had not saved them. He flashed past suits of corroded mirrored armor and the wreckage of burned-out battle machines. War had blasted the landscape, slicing off the tops of hills, turning fertile plains to sheets of glass. The mad ghosts of a sad people keened songs of defeat and despair. Nothing lived save a few demons that had been stranded when the Burning Legion moved on to its next conquest, or had been left to stand guard over the waypoints of the Legion's march. Mountains had been carved to resemble dreadlords. A moat of bones surrounded the corpse of a city the size of a nation. A giant animated skeleton rose from the ossuary sea and clawed its way over a mountain of ribs and skulls and thigh bones until its spark of necromantic energy faded and it tumbled back into the mass from which it had emerged. He followed the trail of his spell through another portal and emerged onto a different world. Water had once covered its surface, but now the ocean was red as blood, filled with poisons that had killed the whale-sized inhabitants. Massive rafts woven from dead kelp rotted on the surface. The corpses of merfolk were entwined around them. The cadavers of creatures the size of cities decomposed on the ocean floor, surrounded by the skeletons of the aquatic armies that had once guarded them. Nothing lived. Not even the smallest particle of plankton. The air itself was turning poisonous without plants to purify it and keep it alive. He passed through another portal. A world of deserts and fire. Here and there he came upon the bones of wandering tribespeople and their pack animals. The wells of every oasis had been poisoned. The sun blazed down on an empty landscape of shifting dunes, to which only the wind gave animation. Sometimes they crumbled to reveal the skeletons of great armored worms or the acid-pitted ruins of brass skyscrapers. On and on his spirit flashed, passing through dead world after dead world, monuments to the eternal malice of the Burning Legion. Everywhere lay ruin. This would be the fate of Azeroth and Outland and the few remaining living worlds once the Burning Legion attacked. He searched for traces of life and found nothing, not even a cockroach or a rat. Sargeras's army had set out to cleanse these places of every living thing, and it had succeeded. Illidan had known what to expect, and still it appalled him, this senseless, monstrous violence, this hatred of all life, this wanton murder of world after world after world. He had been a fighter all his days. He had fought and killed and hated, but still he struggled to imagine what drove the Burning Legion to this. Here and there he came upon hubs where the ways split and the paths of conquest led onward across multiple routes to multiple worlds. Always his spell guided him, his spirit questing through infinite worlds, seeking, seeking, seeking. He lost all track of time. He had no idea whether 100 seconds or 100 years had passed back upon the world where his body waited. Perhaps he was already dead and his spirit was doomed to wander these infinite wastelands, a spectral witness to the doom of countless worlds. He passed through another gate, despairing, hopeless, certain that he had miscalculated. This one was an odd place, a collection of rocks imbued with potent magic floating amid the infinite void of the twisting nether. A tiny sun orbited it every few minutes. Dozens of miniature glowing moons followed it. Bits of rock floated in the air, held aloft by the power of magic. Potent energies saturated this place, were sunk into the very fabric of the world, and they were not the only thing here. In the distance, amid the rocks, he sensed the presence of demons of a very specific sort. Nathrezim. Was it possible he had finally found what he was looking for? Nathrezar, the home of the Dreadlords. Hundreds of Dreadlords were certainly here, and thousands of their servants. Cautiously he advanced. The Nathrezim were creatures of power with a near unparalleled capacity for working magic. They would have no difficulty detecting his spirit form unless he was very, very careful. Even now, Illidan thought he sensed something watching. He froze. Nothing happened. The Dreadlords did not respond to his presence. Perhaps it was nothing, merely his own too wary mind. His bodiless state prevented him from feeling any of the physical expressions of excitement. His heart did not race, his mouth did not go dry. A cold feeling of triumph filled him. He had found it. The place he had always suspected existed was here. "Do not be too certain," he cautioned himself. "You do not know that yet. You need confirmation." He drifted closer to the presence of the Dreadlords, following the lay of the land and the pattern of the rocks, weaving spells of concealment and misdirection around himself. His spirit was strong, but not as strong as it was when it occupied his body. There were beings here who could end his existence if they spotted him. He searched for any spells that might alert the inhabitants to his presence. A city of basalt towers, lit by the flare of green fell lanterns, stood before him. Disks of basalt rose up the sides of buildings. Huge dreadlords flapped across the skies. It was odd to see so many sentient beings after passing across so many dead worlds. He saw palaces where Nathrezim planned the destruction of worlds, the enslavement of civilizations, where the end of all existence was plotted by beings sworn to the service of Sargeras. Servitors guided odd machines on unguessable errands. In the center of it all stood one gigantic, windowless tower amid a grid of energy flows. Baleful green runes lit up its sides. Legions of servitors came and went. No doubt about it, he had found what he sought. Gul'dan's visions had not lied. He made careful calculations of the position and pattern of the gates that had carried him here, studying the astrological significance of the stars that glittered in the sky. Then, when he was certain he had fixed in his mind all the information he had come here to find, he terminated the spell of spirit walking. The silver cord tightened and drew him with unimaginable speed back to his body. Heavy flesh and dense bone imprisoned him once more. Air thundered back into his lungs. He stretched, reveling in the feel of muscles, answering the commands of his will. He took a deep breath, identifying the sense. A smile flickered across his face. Now he would take the war to the Burning Legion. Now he would make his enemies pay. All of them. Chapter 15. 3 months before the fall. Maya ducked the ogre's blow and sliced his stomach open with a return stroke of her blade. The creature gave an idiotic chuckle and clutched at his intestines with one meaty hand, trying to hold them in. With his free hand, he brought his massive club swinging back. She jumped over the tree trunk-sized weapon. There were times when she thought it was true what they said about ogres, that the creatures felt no pain. An Indra threw herself out of the way but tripped over a clutching root and stumbled back into the murky water. Sarius growled. His cat form emerged from the shadows and pounced on the ogre's back. Claws raked, drawing blood. Maiev focused her power, blinked through the intervening space. She aimed a blow at the jugular, blood sprayed. This time, the ogre fell. And Indra rolled clear of the tumbling corpse and stood. Algae-discolored water streamed from her hair and turned her tunic a muddy brown. Maiev glanced around. Her troops were finishing off the ogres. She could not guess what foolishness had made the huge brutes ambush them. They had grown more and more aggressive toward travelers on the roads through Zangarmarsh in the past few months. It seemed they had forged an alliance with Vash's Naga. Whatever spell engines the serpent folk were building neared completion. Maiev's efforts to sabotage them had met with failure. All she had managed to do was free some broken slaves, useless as recruits to her forces. She counted fallen combatants. Two Draenei corpses lay in the water, heads submerged, in a way that told her they would not be getting up. Sarius had already begun healing the wounded. She felt the surge of druidic power as he set an arm broken by an ogre's club. Anindra shook her head, sending drops of water splashing down into the murk. Maiev wiped sweat from her brow, then swatted a huge insect that had landed on the back of her hand. Its blood-bloated body burst, staining her hand crimson. By Elune, there were times when she hated those little monsters more than she hated those who abused magic. "I think we have taught them not to attack us again," Anindra said. She studied the body of the fallen ogre. He must have weighed as much as 10 elves, even though he was only half again as tall. He was so broad as to seem almost squat, and a thick layer of fat overlaid his swollen muscles. Red and brown mingled in the water around him. A water-walking insect had its feet stained red. A large fish broke the surface and took it down in one gulp. "They are too stupid to learn that lesson," Maiev said. She squatted down and washed her hands in the water. She could not get them truly clean, but at least the blood came off. "No matter how many of them we kill, they will insist on fighting." "What do you think the Naga are up to?" Anindra asked. Maiev shook her head. Her lieutenant persisted in questioning her as if she had an answer for everything. "I do not know, but if Illidan wants it done, we must see that it is not." Anindra looked away as if the answer had disappointed her. Maiev wished she had a better one. She wished she could think of some way of taking the war to Illidan, but the betrayer had not stirred from his fortress in the weeks since Akama had reported Kael'thas's disappearance. No doubt Illidan felt vulnerable without the Blood Elf Prince's aid against the Burning Legion, but Kael'thas's absence had not helped her cause any. She pushed the thought away. It was too easy to give in to despair. She would find a way of bringing Illidan to justice. She just needed to keep trying, and the way would open. She was a night elf, and she was used to thinking she had all the time in the world. Of course, since the devastation of the world tree Nordrasil and the loss of the night elves' immortality, that was no longer true. But old habits died hard. A tingling sensation started at her right side. She stepped into a patch of shadow. She took the stone Akama had given her out of her pouch and focused her thoughts on it. The image of the leader of the Ashtang appeared in her mind. The broken looked even more shriveled with age. His eyes were tiny pinpricks. There were deep lines on his face that had not been there before. "What is it?" Maiev asked, knowing her voice would be heard by no one but Akama and herself. "Meet me in Orobor Harbridge. Things move swiftly. The time for our vengeance has arrived." Akama sounded tired and listless. His voice was feeble in a way she could not ever recall it sounding before. Perhaps something was interfering with the spell, she told herself. Perhaps it was just her imagination. "What? How?" "Meet me where we first met. I have much to tell you, and it is best we be prepared to move at an instant's notice. Make sure your people are ready to fight."
"What is going on?"
"I do not have time to explain. I must go, and go now. Meet me and be ready." Abruptly, the contact was cut. Maiev wondered what was going on. Had the long-awaited hour finally arrived? She put the stone away and stepped out into the light once again. "Mount up," she said. "We are going to Orobor Harbridge." Some of the troops groaned. They had been expecting a rest after the battle.
The urgency of Akama's summons was going to deny them that. Having a chance to capture the betrayer at long last far outweighed their desire or any good they might do here destroying the Naga's spell engines. "We ride," Maiev said. Her followers leapt into their saddles. They left the corpses of their foes behind them as food for the denizens of the Great Marsh. Maiev paced impatiently inside the hut Akama maintained for their meetings in Orobor Harborage. Her troops watched her closely through the windows. They had learned to step warily when she was in this mood. Where was that dam broken? He had communicated urgency, but now he could not even be bothered to show up. She put her hands by her sides and smoothed the seam of her tabard. It did not do to reveal too much impatience in front of the troops. They looked to her for leadership. She slowed her stride, measured her pacing, and turned her thoughts inward. It was not like Akama to be late. The Broken never missed a meeting. He usually turned up early for them. She hoped nothing had happened to him. It would mean the loss of a highly placed spy if the betrayer had slain him for treason. That would never happen. Akama had eluded Illidan's gaze for years, and that spoke of a far greater than average ability to hide things. He had deceived even Illidan. All he had to do was continue to do so for a bit longer. She thought about the strangeness of it all. Her strongest ally in Outland was a mutated aberration who served her greatest enemy. He had proved more reliable than any of the so-called leaders of the forces of light. She told herself she should have more faith, but she struggled with that. It was not easy to let go of things, to pass control to someone else. The air shimmered, a way opened. Akama stepped through. His shoulders were slumped and his eyes were downcast. His steps dragged even more than usual. "Greetings," he said. "I bring grave news." He looked up at her and his eyes seemed sunken, their glow dimmed. "Let us hope that it brings us a little closer to victory than your last tidings. Prince Kael'thas may be a deserter, but that has done us no good." Akama stumbled over to a table and poured himself a goblet of wine. He seemed to have aged significantly since the last time they had met. His hand shook as he put the jug down. "You look as if you have seen better days," Maiev said. Akama shrugged and spread his arms wide. "The betrayer has had me working magic day and night since last we spoke. It has drained me. His schemes come to a head, and I believe I know what he is up to."
"Tell me."
"Give me a moment," the Broken said. He took out a small flask of magical elixir and stirred it into the wine. He raised the mixture to his lips and downed it in one gulp. Within heartbeats he stood taller, and some of the weariness faded from his frame. Maiev's eyes narrowed. She had never seen him like this before. She had never suspected he needed unnatural stimulants to maintain his strength. "Are you all right?" Akama's head bobbed slowly up and down. He seemed to want to reassure her, but appeared incapable of it. His movements were still slow and pained. He looked as if he was very ill. Perhaps the strain of his long subterfuge was taking a toll on his health. "The betrayer has finally revealed his hand. He plans on opening a new gateway."
"Can you be more specific than that?"
"I know only the rumors that I've heard around the temple, and I have managed to take a look around his sanctum, and I have found clues that he plans to perform some sort of mighty ritual."
Disappointment lent anger to Maiev's tone. "None of this is of any great help to us. If he remains within the Black Temple, there is nothing we can do. He is too well guarded."
At this point, Akama smiled. It was like watching a cold moon emerge from behind dark clouds. A strange glint entered his eyes. "To perform this ritual, he is going to have to leave the temple."
"What do you mean?"
"The portal can only be opened at a specific time and place, and that place is not within the temple of Kerabor."
"How can you be so certain of this?"
"I managed to get a glimpse at the scrolls he has prepared. Some of them contained maps."
"Is it really possible?" Maiev wondered. Was she finally about to get the opportunity she had waited so long for? "Maps of where?"
"The Hand of Gul'dan." The volcano in Shadow Moon Valley? Why there?
It is a location upon which enormous powers are focused. Gul'dan severed the Orcish people's connection with the elemental spirits there.
Illidan will be well guarded, Maiev said. Once again Akama gave that strange, cold smile. He shook his head.
All of the signs point to the fact that he plans to move in great secrecy. He is assembling supplies for only a few.
How do you know this?
One of the advantages of being a Broken is that almost all the slaves and servants in the temple speak my language, belong to my people. Few notice the lowly Broken, but we see many things. There is little that is done there that I do not have some inkling about.
You think he is planning on performing the ritual in secret?
He has talked to me about needing to make a trip in the utmost secrecy within the next few days.
Why has he talked to you about this? Maiev was suddenly suspicious.
Since the Prince of the Blood Elves vanished, Illidan has taken me more and more into his confidence. He needs someone to take charge within the temple while he is away, and the Illidari council members are all blood elves. He thinks me too lacking in ambition to plot behind his back.
Bitterness tinged Akama's speech. Then he is definitely going, Maiev said.
I have never seen him like this before. He is consumed with excitement. It is as if a plan that he has held for a very long time is coming to fruition. I strongly suspect that it has something to do with all the elves he has been training.
Curiosity tugged at Maiev. She had long wondered about the tattooed demonic fighters. Is he taking them with him?
Akama shook his head. Their leaders have been told to stand ready to move at a moment's notice. I think the order will come if the ritual proves to be successful. I do not think he wants to risk them beyond the temple if it is not.
He values them so highly.
They are the apple of his eye. He spends more time with them than he does planning the defense of his empire. It is puzzling. They represent something very important to him, but I cannot work out what it is. I believe that it will be revealed within the next few days.
Who will accompany him for the ritual?
I have studied the duty rosters. Small groups of sorcerers are being dispatched from the temple almost every day. All of them are wizards of considerable strength, and all of them are well practiced in ritual magic.
He intends to assemble them on the hand of Gul'dan.
It is the only thing that makes sense.
And you believe he is doing this in secret because...
He is worried about spies, and not without cause.
Akama gave a sour grin. How many of the sorcerers have been dispatched, and how many more are going to be?
There will be 13 groups of 13 assembled on the slopes of the volcano. The number has mystical significance. It ties in with the number of nodes on the pattern he is trying to create.
Even if there is only a small force, that number of wizards could prove a significant threat.
Not if they are involved in complex ritual magic when the attack comes.
Akama's words hung in the air. The moment was finally here. It was now or never. She was never going to get a better chance to attack the betrayer, if what Akama said was true. You are certain of this? Maiev asked.
As certain as I can be of anything under the circumstances. I believe that the betrayer will be on the slopes of the Hand of Gul'dan, and that he will have those sorcerers with him. He intends to perform a mighty ritual and open a portal to somewhere else. Perhaps he thinks he can escape the vengeance of the Burning Legion by opening a way to some other world, where the demons have not yet established a beachhead.
No. The word escaped from Maiev's mouth before she could stop it. She could not let the betrayer slip from her grasp again. It would be just like him to leave the defenders of his fortress to face the consequences when the servants of Sargeras arrived. It still did not explain what he was intending to do with his elven trainees, though.
If you will accept my advice, Akama said, you will take your force to the slopes of the volcano and investigate. If I am wrong, you will have lost nothing. If I am right, you will get the best chance you will ever have of capturing your great foe.
And what about you? Where will you be?
I will be with you. I want to be there when you overthrow the betrayer. I will bring my people. We will aid you.
I have paused for a heartbeat. Akama.
Yes?
I have been critical of you and your people in the past, suspicious of your motives, too. But this day you have proved that my thoughts were unworthy. Together, we will bring Illidan down. Akama took a deep, rasping breath and held her gaze.
I pray that you are right.
I will tell my people to be ready, Maiev said. We have far to go and very little time to do it in.
I will open a way for you, and then I will return to the temple and prepare my people. The time has come for us to take vengeance.
Maiev shook her head. The time has come for us to bring the betrayer to justice.
However you wish to portray it, this is our chance to achieve our goal. Let us overthrow Illidan. Let us free Outland from his wickedness. Let the temple of Kerabor be returned to my people.
It shall be done, Maiev said. Chapter 16. 3 months before the fall. Over everything lay the eerie glow of the Hand of Gul'dan. The mountain shivered like a whipped dog as the tremors of some yet unborn earthquake rippled through its belly. Green lava spouted gigantic plumes in the lakes of burning stone visible on the lower slopes. All around, huge cables of magical power billowed. Maya thought the pre-shocks of this volcanic eruption were connected with the spell being woven. Akama was correct. A ritual of immense power was being enacted here. There could be no doubt of the awesome magnitude of the sorcery being worked. A shower of greenly glowing meteors left a trail across the sky. They were an ominous portent, but of what, she could not tell. Her people, the Night Elves at least, were shadows among shadows. They moved from rock to rock, silent as assassins come in the night to a king's bedchamber. The Draenei and the Broken did not move with the same stealth. They were too big, too clumsy, and too powerful. Akama looked alert and uneasy as well he might. To one with his sensitivity to the moods of the world, the shaking of the mountain must be very disturbing. She herself was profoundly perturbed. Scores of Ashtongue soldiers lay hidden over the nearby mountainside. Akama had brought a strong bodyguard with him. Everything was as Akama predicted. Groups of 13 sorcerers stood in circles, weaving the great spell. Some were blood elves, some were naga. All were potent magi. Lines of magical power danced among them, linking them together. They chanted and gestured, and something answered their call. A few other robed Illidari surrounded them. They might have been bodyguards or servants, but there were fewer of them than there were sorcerers. The covens were spread out over the mountain. Each of them represented a point in a great pattern, a focus of the energy being directed toward the central altar. As she looked down at it, a smile of triumph flickered on Maiev's lips. The betrayer himself was there, directing the operations, standing arrogantly at the altar. He wove the great spell like the master magician he was, shaping it into a swirling vortex of potency. She paused to consider the magnitude of the gateway being opened. So much energy, all of it centered on this one spot. Either Illidan proposed summoning a being of truly awesome power, or the portal was intended to bridge a gap across an unimaginable distance. Not that it mattered. He was not going to be given a chance to complete his spell. By now the rest of her squads should be in position. Sarius and his group were in place, ready to slay the sorcerers nearest to Illidan. After that, justice would be done for all of the betrayer's victims. It would be done with her own sharp blade. She ran her finger along the edge and shivered, imagining it. She glanced over at Akama once more. The Broken licked his lips and nodded. He knew as well as she did that it was time. She raised her armored hand and gave the signal to attack. A roar sounded in the distance. A panther-like figure emerged from the shadows and leapt at the throat of a blood elf magician. The Sindori screamed and fell. The other sorcerers barely noticed. They were too wrapped up in the casting of spells.
Maiev had perfectly chosen the moment to attack. Even the betrayer did not seem to notice them for an instant. Her Draenei and broken followers emerged from the rocks and charged downslope, brandishing their weapons, invoking powerful spells of offense and defense. The few Illidari surrounding the clumps of sorcerers were taken off guard. Some managed to pull weapons free of their sheaths and form up in small groups back to back. Maiev could only respect such bravery, even if she despised the cause they fought for. Their courage would not make any difference. The numbers favored Maiev and her troops. She did not even need Akama's followers. The Ashtung lacked the hard competence of her own people. They had not been honed by months and years of guerrilla warfare in the wastes of Outland. Maiev used her power to blink from her position and reappeared behind a Naga sorcerer. Her blade licked out and slit the creature's throat before she could react. A swift step took her within reach of another mage. She struck off the blood elf's arm with one blow. The air shivered. The pulse of magic briefly halted. The other magi redoubled their efforts. It was possible that the spell would run out of control if too many of them were killed. The backlash of such unleashed magic could be catastrophic. Maiev did not care. As long as the spell destroyed Illidan, she would not consider her own death too high a price to pay. Of course, he might yet escape. He was as slippery as a serpent and had a talent for self-preservation equaled only by his talent for treachery. She needed to make sure. Only if he died beneath her blade could she be absolutely certain that her purpose was achieved. The altar lay ahead, and it looked as if, at last, the betrayer was starting to pay attention to the attack. His war glaives spun in his hands, and he glanced around to see where the threat had come from. Maiev sprinted toward him, hoping to get within range so that she could blink behind him and strike. Illidan's head swiveled to look directly at her. He raised his war glaives as he invoked powerful magic. The spell he wove seemed to have nothing to do with the ritual taking place around them. A magical signal blazed. Maiev sensed the sudden opening of the portals all around her. Gaps appeared in the fabric of reality. Clouds of mist billowed forth from them as differences in temperature and air pressure between the point of origin and the point of terminus manifested. The fog provided cover for the masses of reinforcements emerging through the portals. Hundreds upon hundreds of Naga slithered forth along with companies of fell orcs. The gates appeared between the parties of magicians. In places, the emerging fighters smashed into Maiev's own soldiers. She saw that they needed to throw Illidan's forces back through the gates before the superior numbers could be brought to bear. The portal mouths were not huge. A small number of troops could choke the exit points. Maiev shouted orders, telling her soldiers to strike at the emerging Illidari. It was a stopgap measure. Sooner or later, greater numbers would prevail. That was not the point. All they had to do was buy her time to reach Illidan and put an end to his evil career forever. Even as her troops reacted, she realized that the betrayer had taken her response into account. There were too many portals for her small force to close them all. Groups of Illidari emerged on the flanks of the swirling melee. She lengthened her stride to try to reach the betrayer, determined that if nothing else, she would be avenged. As if he knew what she was thinking and wanted to mock her, Illidan spread his wings and leapt into the sky. Maiev sensed more magic being woven and looked around. Amid a court of powerful Naga sorcerers stood Lady Vash. The leader of the Illidari's serpent folk lashed about her with potent spells. Maiev's troops fell as if poleaxed. The bitter taste of defeat filled Maiev's mouth. A massive fell orc leapt in front of her, his monstrous axe swept down. She ducked under it, rolled forward, and hamstrung the creature with her umbra crescent. A phalanx of fell orc warriors charged at her. She tensed, ready to spring. A bolt of pure cold shivered through her body, shocking her to a stop. Lady Vash had made contact with a spell. Howling maniacally, the fell orcs rushed in. Maiev tried to move her frozen muscles, but they refused to respond. She was going to die, and Illidan was going to go free once more. The fell orcs closed the distance with terrifying speed. Spittle drooped from the lips of one massive red-skinned creature as he raised his axe to take her head. Maiev refused to shut her eyes. An arrow whizzed out of nowhere and buried itself in the creature's throat. Another one hit him on the shoulder and sent him twisting to the ground. More arrows rained down, killing more fell orcs. All of them had Anindra's green and red fletching. A fell orc tripped over the corpses of his comrades. A berserker leapt over the growing pile and closed the distance. Maiev managed to get her arm moving, attempted a parry. Too slow, too slow. The great hunting cat that was Sarius leapt in from the side, caught the berserk fell orc's arm, twisted his weight to overbalance him and gouged him with his claws. Reddish-black rents appeared in the fell orc's neck. Blood spurted. More fell orcs piled onto the druid, determined to bring him down. Sarius rose, this time wearing the form of a bear, shifting the enormous weight of the fell orc warriors. Their blades hacked his fur, drawing blood, but magic surged around the druid to close his wounds. Maiev felt a hand on her shoulder. She turned her head to see Anindra's appalled face. "We've got to get out of here," her second-in-command bellowed. Her voice was already hoarse from shouting orders above the clamor of battle. Not many of Maiev's troops remained, a handful of her Draenei and broken fighters, and Anindra and Sarius. The gates were fully open now. Fell orc after fell orc and Naga after Naga poured through. This was more than a force of bodyguards. It was an army. For a moment she considered flight. She could order her troops to run and fight another day, but she might never get another chance like this. She must kill the betrayer this day. Even if it meant giving up her life and the lives of all her companions, it would be a price worth paying. A monstrous shadow fell on her. Looking up, she saw Illidan swoop overhead, his great wings spread. His eerie laughter echoed out over the battlefield, audible even over the ring of blade on blade, the war cries of the broken and the howls of the fell orcs. Magical energy surged around her as the Blood Elf and Naga spellcasters returned to their interrupted ritual. Black spheres swirled above the battlefield. Long tentacles of darkness reached down and touched the wounded and the dying. Where they did so, the victims screamed and aged years in heartbeats, as if all their life force was being drawn out of them. Black sparks emerged from their bodies and were sucked upward into the unholy spheres. Maiev realized that their very souls were being devoured. Not even the souls of the dead were safe. When the tentacles touched a corpse, leather armor would grow tattered. Chainmail and bright blades would tarnish and rust, and a spirit would come forth as black sparks to suffer the same fate as all the others. With every soul absorbed, the spheres grew larger and darker. Bolts of black lightning danced among them, forming great chains of energy. A shimmering hole appeared in the air over the altar, feeding on the souls of the fallen. Maiev looked around for Akama and saw him farther upslope, standing appalled as he watched the massive spell take effect. She hacked her way toward him. Had he known about this trap? Anindra fought calmly at her side. The massive bear that was Sarius lumbered along, dragging half a dozen screaming fell orcs with him. The druid bled from a score of cuts, his magic unable to compensate for all his wounds. Maiev looked on hundreds of corpses. Most of them were Draenei, some of them were night elves or broken. Far too few were fell orcs, Naga, or blood elves. It came to Maiev that many of the dead were Ashtung. Akama stood atop a boulder, shouting, "This slaughter was not part of the plan. You said we were supposed to capture Maiev." So all of this had been a scheme concocted by Illidan and the treacherous broken. The thought filled Maiev with rage. Magically amplified, Illidan's mad voice boomed over the battlefield. "Ah, we will capture Maiev, Akama, but there are other things that need to be done this day." He sounded truly demonic. Akama screamed and raised his fist. Chained lightning circled his fingers, and he looked for a moment as if he was considering hurling it at Illidan. Then he noticed how close Maiev was.
He gestured. The air shimmered around him, and he was gone. "Head for that rise," Maiev shouted. "We will make our stand there." Anindra nodded, then her eyes went wide with shock. An orcish blade protruded from her chest. Blood poured from her mouth. A muscular red arm went around her throat. There was a cracking sound, and her neck broke. She fell forward. Sarius's roar of grief and rage vibrated through the air. It echoed through the chasms around them and just for a moment drowned out the thunder of the volcano. He hurled himself forward, shaking off the clutching fell orcs, and caught Anindra's killer with his jaws. He reared up on his haunches and shook the slayer like a terrier would a rat. The fell orc's neck broke in turn. Spells burst around the huge bear. His movement slowed. Fell orc after fell orc struck him, drawing blood. More and more charged him. Even his strength had limits, and he was pulled down and hacked to pieces. Berserk fury overcame Maiev. She sprang into the midst of the fell orcs and chopped her way through them, slashing with her blade. She beheaded one, lopped away the arm of another, and opened the guts of a third. A red haze filled the air around her. Even the fell orcs grew afraid of her fury as she built a mountain of corpses around herself. Then one of them, braver than the rest, threw himself back into the fray, and the army descended upon her. She chopped and chopped until her arm grew weary. She bled from a thousand cuts. She knew she was going to die, and if she could not get the betrayer, she was going to drag as many of his henchmen down with her as she could. Blinded by weariness and the blood and sweat dripping down her face, she still lashed out. Her limbs felt like jelly. All strength was gone. She found herself standing alone in a circle of the dead. The fell orcs looked upon her with awe. She had killed scores of them, and it wasn't enough. It would never be enough. Overhead, black lightning flickered, moving from sphere to sphere, as more of the souls of the dead and dying were devoured. Maiev realized, to her horror, that all she had done was aid Illidan in the casting of his spell. It fed upon the souls of her victims and used the unleashed energy to crack a hole in the fabric of reality. It was growing cold now, and a wind howled in from the edge of infinity. Illidan hovered over the carnage, looking down in triumph, wings spread, an aura of evil power surrounding him. His gaze met Maiev's. He gestured. Dark energy descended from his fist like the spear of an angry god. Agony lanced through her. She stumbled and fell. The fell orcs advanced toward her recumbent body. She struggled to rise, but strength failed her. She heard the beat of mighty wings and looked up to see Illidan staring down at her. A smile of hatred and malice twisted his narrow features. "So, Maiev, now you are my prisoner. I will endeavor to see that your captivity is as enjoyable as mine was." He turned his head and barked an order to the fell orcs. She pushed against the ground, attempting to rise and strike him. His fist fell like a sledgehammer, battering her to the earth once more. "I have business elsewhere," he said. "But something suitable has already been prepared for your future home. It is a cage that will hold even you, Warden." Chapter 17. 3 months before the fall. Akama watched the portal open from amid the rocks high on the slopes of the Hand of Gul'dan. He had seen many gateways, but nothing like this one. It was not just the scale that was daunting, it was the sheer power. It had devoured the souls of hundreds, sucked in all the magical energy for leagues around. He could feel the unholy strength of it even from his vantage point on the cliffs. What was Illidan up to? He had told his council that this was all a trap for his foe. Knowing the betrayer's hatred for Maiev, everyone had taken him at his word. Now it seemed that there were wheels within wheels, machinations within machinations. It looked as if the capture of Maiev had merely been a feint intended to cover the unfolding of some greater scheme. Akama almost admired Illidan for it. He was capable of using even his own bitter hate as part of his plans. Anger surged within him. The betrayer had broken his promise to spare the lives of Akama's people. Not only that, but he had harvested their souls. He pushed his fury down. He could ill afford such feelings, not after what had been done to his spirit. Akama wondered whether the unholy spell that had opened the portal could even affect him. As punishment for conspiring with Maiev, Illidan had drawn part of Akama's essence from his body. In the darkened hall of the refectory, he had subjected Akama's soul to unspeakable sorcery and turned a portion of it into a shade. His spirit, his most sacred possession, had been turned into a weapon against him, the instrument by which Illidan bound his will, and through him his people. At his whim, the betrayer could unleash the shade, and it would devour Akama from within. It would corrupt the rest of Akama's followers through the spiritual ties that bound them to him. It had not been merely his own life that was at stake, but the lives and souls of all his people. Akama let out a long breath. The betrayer had not believed his claim that he had been meeting Maiev merely to lure her into a trap, that he had wanted to present Illidan's ancient enemy as a gift to him. It was a story Akama had been prepared to give from the moment he made contact with the warden. He had repeated it to himself for so long that he had believed it. He had not convinced the betrayer. Akama had been forced to deliver Maiev into Illidan's hands, and for that he was sorry. She had trusted him, and he had placed her into the clutches of her arch-enemy. Even now, Illidan stood triumphant over his former captor. He did not look as if he intended to kill her. No. He had something else in mind. He had endured much at the hands of Maiev Shadowsong. She had become a focus for his rage and his hatred and his grievances. He would not grant her a quick death. Illidan's great spell shrieked to a climax. Akama felt the pain and the horror of the broken and Draenei souls as the portal spell devoured them. The split in reality gleamed like the surface of a lake on which oil had been thrown. The substance of the portal swirled and parted, and Akama caught glimpses of an alien landscape, of rocks floating in the sky and globules of solidified green energy moving through the air. It felt as if the land he was looking at was unimaginably far away. Judging by the amount of power used to open the portal, it connected to a world more distant than any Gul'dan had ever made contact with. He tried to work out what Illidan was up to. The army that had ambushed Maiev's force was drawing up around the gate to stand guard over it. Why? In case something comes through, was the obvious answer. Even as that thought occurred to him, a new force emerged from the portals leading back to the temple. It consisted of scores of tattooed elven fighters. The army Illidan had been training was finally going to see action. Akama watched in fascination and horror. He sensed the power in the figures down there. They were mighty, and they were touched with evil. In the light of the green gate, it was even more obvious, as if something about the portal fed whatever was in them and lent its strength. As he watched them move en masse under the betrayer's gaze, the resemblance between these combatants and their master struck Akama as never before. They were all like Illidan. They might have been his children. They were certainly his creation. He had forged them from flesh into something new. The question was, why? The air around Vandel was rife with energy. It made his skin tingle and his head spin. The enormous portal ahead tempted him like food on a banquet table might tempt a starving elf. He could tell that his companions felt the same way. The area around the gate looked as if an ancient battle had taken place. Skeletons and desiccated bodies sprawled everywhere, encased in corroded armor, rusty weapons lying near at hand. If he had not known better, he would have thought this the site of some long-ago war. His spectral sight gave the lie to that. Here and there the wounded and the dying lay groaning. Tendrils of dark energy licked out from the portal and drew the shimmering souls from their bodies. They flew through the air, eyes wide, mouths open in horror, and disintegrated when they reached the hovering spheres. He knew without having to be told that they were being devoured by the magic here, and their energy was being used to power the spell. He glanced over his shoulder at the portals leading back to the Black Temple. It hardly seemed possible that barely an hour ago he had risen from his pallet in his cell and prepared for another day of practice. He had known that something was going on. For days, soldiers had been marshaled in the drill grounds of the temple, and an army had made ready for war. It had looked like another one of those vast military exercises that had been so common since he had joined the ranks of the Illidari. He had suspected it might have something to do with the groups of sorcerers who had left the temple in the previous days. Rumors had flown thick and fast. It had all seemed distant, though. For the demon hunters, there had only been the endless rounds of training, right up until the moment the horns had sounded, and Varedes had told them to assemble in the central courtyard with their weapons prepared. He had been surprised that there were few signs of active conflict when they emerged from the portals. The army they had seen gathering over the previous few days was there, and it had fought. It had obviously suffered a number of casualties, too. The spell opening the gateway had not distinguished between those who had fought for Illidan and those who had fought for his enemies. It had sucked the souls out of them, regardless of whose side they had been on. Perhaps it would have sucked the life out of him if he had been wounded. He had most likely stumbled on the reason why he and his comrades had been deployed last. It was clear that whatever their purpose was, it had nothing to do with the battle here. Their lives were being preserved for something else. Looking at the yawning portal flickering and shimmering ahead of him, he knew what that purpose was. Through the gateway, as it swirled, he caught the psychic traces of fell energy and demons. It was like standing some distance from a kitchen on a windy day and catching the scent of food cooking within it. The stench of demon buffeted his nostrils. When he licked his lips, he tasted a faint residue of fell magic. The gate was the mightiest spellwork he had ever seen. His new senses let him appreciate it as he never could have before. The part of him that had wandered the woods of Ashenvale hated it. He knew his family and neighbors would have too. The part that had devoured demons and followed Illidan appreciated it for what it was. He touched the amulet he had made for Kariel and checked his rune-worked weapons. He was as ready now as he was ever going to be. "Soon, soon," whispered the voice within him that was not his own. Illidan turned Maiev's armored form over with the tip of his hoof. She was skilled and powerful, of that there was no doubt. Looking at the carnage she had wrought among his forces, he had almost been tempted to take a hand in the fight himself. He had feared that she might break free and escape once more into the tortured landscape of Shadow Moon Valley. He was glad now he had decided to deploy an entire army to watch over the gate. It had proved necessary before the way was opened. She had almost succeeded in distracting him at the crucial moment of the ritual when he had needed all his concentration to finish the weaving of energies and bring the construction to fruition. Almost. No matter. Maiev was his prisoner now, and she would never trouble him again. He allowed himself a smirk of satisfaction. It was a good omen, he thought, a portent of how this day would go. Whatever powers still watched over these ancient worlds looked favorably on his actions. "Do not be too confident," he told himself. "We make order from chaos by the force of our wills. It is foolish to read anything more into the patterns random chance throws up." He took one last lingering glance at Maiev and promised himself that she would suffer as he had. 10,000 years of pain would not be too many for her to endure. She would not live for another 10 millennia, so he would need to find a way to concentrate all that agony into a much shorter span. There would be time enough to consider such things later. The portal shimmered and pulsed. Raising his hands wide, he spoke the final words of the great spell. The knots of energy tied themselves, the structure stabilized, the shimmering curtain parted, and the way to Nathrezar, the home world of the Dreadlords, was clear. A dagger of pure force sliced reality around the gate. Through it washed a torrent of fell energy. His tattoos channeled and absorbed it, filling him with ever greater power. His satisfaction with this achievement exceeded even what he felt with Mayev's capture. He had created a gate to a world farther away than any other reached from the surface of Outland. Gul'dan himself would have struggled to invoke it and contain its energies. This portal was the greatest feat of sorcery worked in Outland since its catastrophic creation. An eerie green light bathed the upturned faces of his followers, making them look even more monstrous than usual. They were a weapon he had spent a long time forging. He wondered whether they would survive the first battle or shatter like a flawed blade created by a neophyte smith. They had been gifted with power, trained by masters. They had been selected from the most driven individuals with the greatest thirst for vengeance against the Burning Legion. They had survived when most others would have died. That itself meant nothing. They could still perish in the next few hours. He could still die. His whole life could be turned into an empty cosmic joke by the whims of chance. It was too late to worry about such things now. He would need to trust that his calculations were correct and that his schemes would work out as he had planned them. He raised his hand into the air, flexed his wings, and soared above his troops. All gazes went from the gateway to him, just as he intended. He set himself down by the open portal, felt the tingle of magic around him, caught the scent of alien air. He gestured for his demon hunters to follow, and then he swooped through the portal to confront his onrushing destiny. Chapter 18. 3 months before the fall. Vandel bounded through the gateway following Illidan. He raced to the brow of the ridge and crouched down, doing his best to keep out of sight. In the distance he sensed demons, thousands upon thousands of them. Huge islands of rock drifted like clouds across the sky of this alien world. Green light burned from every boulder and blazed from the tiny orbiting sun. Beneath him, the ridge fell away to a cratered plain over which obelisks of reflective obsidian hovered. The portal back to Outland gaped, a hole in the fabric of reality linking two worlds. Illidan's shadow fell upon him. The betrayer stood on the crest of the hill, claws extended, every muscle in his tattoo-covered body tight with tension. Massive bat wings cloaked his shoulders. Bestial horns curved from the sides of his head. A circlet of rune cloth hid his eye sockets. A savage smile of anticipation curled his thin lips, revealing his bright fangs. He, too, sensed the approaching demons. Part of Vandel tittered with mad mirth. He forced the demonic presence down, knowing that he could not hold it there for long. He was going to need its strength to survive the coming battle. Illidan's leathery wings creaked as he shifted his weight. His hooves struck sparks against the rocks as he moved. Nearby, scores of Illidari demon hunters waited in the shadows, hidden by potent magic. Vandel prayed to whatever gods might be listening that those spells were strong enough. Out there in the darkness, enemies of terrible power waited. Within the next few hours, they would find out whether the gifts the betrayer had lavished on them were enough to preserve their lives. They would learn whether their months of harsh training and terrible sacrifices had paid off. And still, something in Vandel yearned to serve the forces of the dark titan Sargeras, and he feared it was not just the part that was transformed by his demon's touch. A fragment of his elven soul responded to the nihilistic glory of the Burning Legion just as strongly as any infernal would. Illidan's nostrils flared as if he scented Vandel's weakness. A growl sounded deep in his throat. "He will fail," Vandel's inner demon whispered. "He has always failed. He cannot oppose the will of Sargeras. Nothing can." Vandel took a deep breath and tried to empty his mind. It did not help. It just made him more aware of the magical energy surging around him. He wanted to gather it to him and use it. He wanted to unleash a volcanic tide of destruction upon the distant demonic presences. He wanted to slay them and take their essence into himself. He wanted to feed. "Yes," the demon whispered, "that will make you strong enough to challenge even Illidan." He concentrated on his surroundings in an effort to ignore the mad whispers. This planetoid was carved from pure magical energy congealed into pulsing chromatic stone. Whenever he touched the surrounding rocks, his flesh tingled. His heart thundered in his chest. He tried to focus his concentration.